Hi, my name's Jane and I'm an elder from the West Kirby URC and I'm bringing you the message tonight. We're currently doing a series on the promises of God, and so just to recap, we've already covered that he promises his presence, so he will never leave us, and I can assure you he's with us even in these lockdown days. Then we looked at God's provision, his promise of provision, that he gives us what we need when we ask for it. George gave a fantastic testimony in there. It's well worth listening to if you've not already. But remember, God gives us what we need, not always what we want. And last week, Dan did an excellent talk on God's power, his promise of his power, and particularly in our weakness, where it says, when you're weak, I am strong. And no doubt there are many of us who've had many weak moments over this awful pandemic. But what we want to really focus on tonight is his promise of pardon. Now, to be pardoned means to be let off the hook completely, forgiven, no charge put against you. You know, there are times where people have been wrongly convicted or even rightly convicted of things in the past, but they've later received pardons when whatever it was that they were accused of was found to not warrant prosecution. Now, as people, and as we know, none of us are perfect. The Bible tells us everyone falls short of the glory of God. And that can be on a daily basis if you're anything like me. But what we have in our God is the promise of forgiveness, which is the same as being pardoned, the promise of being let off the hook. And I just want to ask you, how do you feel in your heart right now about who you are and where you are with God? Because as Christians, we are called to live free and to know that we are free of everything we've ever done. But I'll bet I'm not the only one who occasionally hears that voice. You're not good enough to be a Christian. Christians don't behave like that. Because we live in a world where you just have to prove yourself, prove and prove and prove yourself, and where you are condemned for the slightest mistakes at times, and particularly the Christian religion. If people know you're a Christian and then you happen to badly behave in front of them, or it comes to light that you've done something that you may well not be proud of, people like to judge us, and we can feel that condemnation at times. But I just want to speak over your lives and say that condemnation does not come from God. Because we'll start with the Bible reading today, which is in Romans 8 and the first two verses, which, if you want to look it up in your Bible, is in the New Testament, and it comes after the Gospels and after Acts. And then you will find Romans. So go to chapter 8. And let's just read the first two verses. Mine's entitled Life Through the Spirit. I'm using the NIV, an older version of the NIV. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. And I just want to read that again, and maybe you want to read it out with me, because it talks about, it's a personal thing. It's what Paul's writing to the Romans, but we can speak this out over our lives. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We can even change that, for me, who is in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Now, you will notice where we began there, it starts with therefore. So it's obviously referring back to what Paul's previously said. And I want to encourage you to read Romans, basically, but definitely have a look at chapter 7, because this is where Paul's coming from, where he's talking about what sin is, basically, and how the law, which is the commandments given through Moses to God's people, basically highlighted all the wrongs in life and gave them instructions, good instructions of how to live life. But because we all fall short of the glory of God, Paul kind of explains this a bit, because there is, he talks of a war waging in us, our flesh, what we want, what our desires, is waging a war against what's right. And I guess that's our moral stance. You know, some people use that as evidence for there being a God and God being in us, as opposed to the argument that basically we've evolved from animals, because this conscience that we have is something that I believe comes from God. I believe there is a common grace in every person that understands the moral code. And so it's really good to have a look at chapter 7, because there are bits in there that Paul highlights and talks about us, that we need to be set free from sin and become slaves to God. And then we reap holiness and eternal life. You see, the thing is, God, through Jesus Christ going to the cross, has pardoned us. He's taken us off the hook. We stand before the presence of God, not when we die, but every single day, because we have invited him into our lives, if we have accepted what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Maybe some of you aren't there yet, but this is the perspective that I want to speak from. So once we have accepted Christ Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, we stand before him every day. We've already spoken of his presence being permanent and with us, so he's always with us. So whenever we do things good, bad, ugly, Jesus Christ is there and he knows all about it. Now, you know, even Paul said in chapter 7, verse 21, "So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And that comes before the therefore. Well, he also goes on to say, "So then I myself in mind, I'm a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin." So he's still talking about there is this war waging. There is the fact that we all fall short of the glory of God. Just by accepting Jesus Christ in us, we don't suddenly become perfect human beings. We never will. Not until we're in heaven with God, when basically all the bad is put away and we're made new in the full image that we were designed to be, the image of God, our creator. And so when we started Romans 8 and it says therefore, it's because he's saying, look, I'm a wretched man, but there's no condemnation on me because I am in Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus is in us. You know, when we invite him to become Lord and Saviour, we invite the Holy Spirit to come in. This is why it's talking about life through the Spirit. Because in the New King James and the Old King James Version, it talks about there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus and walk in the Spirit. Because this whole section, basically up to verse 17, is talking about life through the Spirit. And this is why we need the Holy Spirit in us to help us realize when we've got things wrong. And so this promise of pardon isn't a one time done and then if you get everything else wrong afterwards, you know, you're then condemned. No, you're convicted. You know when you've done wrong. I know when I've done wrong. You know, I've certainly had times over this lockdown where I have battled with that thing in my head saying I'm not worthy, not good enough. I'm not worthy to be a Christian. And the truth is I'm not, but I've been forgiven. I've been accepted as an heir alongside Jesus before the Father God because of what he did on the cross. When Jesus went on the cross, he bore everything we've ever done, doing, and going to do wrong. It's like every sin of mankind for all time until he comes again was born on Jesus's back. And he died for us. And as he gave up his spirit, he said, "It is finished." And so seriously, guys, if you know Jesus and you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, but yet you're burdened by shame and regrets and things that you've done wrong, trust me, that can be taken away from you. And in actual fact, Jesus is there going, "Hand it over. It's not yours anymore because I have done the work for this." And sometimes we feel we don't want to dirty his hands. You know, I remember people used to say a very Christianese thing, "Go and place it at the foot of the cross." And I used to think, okay, I'll go and place it at the foot of the cross. But then when I looked at what I'd placed at the foot of the cross, it just seemed so messy. I wanted to gather it all up again and just take it away and say, "Jesus doesn't need this." But actually what I was saying is it wasn't good enough. You know, and we have to be careful of something we call besetting sin, which again, Christianese means we're repeatedly sinning, knowing it's sin, and almost saying it doesn't matter. Because it does. There are some things that we will battle with in life, whether it be an illness, like addictions, whether it be the way we choose to live our life that may not be in accordance with God's will, according to other people and from the black and white in the Bible. But all I can say is just take it to the cross. And it doesn't matter how cluttered the base of that cross gets. It's big enough, it's powerful enough to handle it. You know, we really need to think about the last few weeks of promises and let it culminate, because this, what I've read, these first two verses in Romans 8, is the pinnacle of the gospel. Because without this, we can have a nice life with knowing Jesus, and we can be caring and loving and take care of our community and speak of Jesus. But it's this that changes us. It's this, when we accept Jesus Christ into our lives, into our heart, and we invite the Holy Spirit in, there is a change in us. For some of us, it's quite gradual. It's almost like, you know, the colours just start to get brighter in the world and we realise we're feeling more peace. When I came to Christ, I had a bit of a Damascus Road experience, and I know I'm fortunate for that, but I needed it. I was so full of hatred, even self-hatred, that it was a barrier to me loving my family. And I was fortunate to go on an Alpha course. And after that Alpha course, at the very end, we had a Holy Spirit day, and we went away for the day somewhere in Formby. And I'll never forget the moment where I just thought, I need this. And during the worship time, they just said, you know, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit from God, just put out your hands. And I felt like power was coming into me from my feet, slowly up until I didn't feel like it was me breathing, right to the top of my head. And then as soon as that thing, and that is the most beautiful experience I've ever had in my entire life. And I will never forget it, because afterwards I just had to go home. I had to go home and love my husband and my children like I'd never loved them before. And there was such a change in me when I went back to work as well. And for a good couple of years, it was like a honeymoon period, you know, I was changed. But there have been times when God's reminded me of things I've done in the past, and I've been reluctant to receive forgiveness for them. And so it was more self-condemnation, really. And I guess that's a sin in itself, because that's saying what Jesus did on the cross was not enough. You know, there's so much in this book that points us to Jesus and points us why we need to know Jesus. We need his forgiveness. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, the world is full of temptations, and also brushes off things as they don't matter, so long as you're happy. If it feels good, do it. But we know in our heart of hearts when we've got it wrong. And there may be some of you out there now who are listening to this who feel you may have known God once, or you may never have known him, but you just feel that he's so far away from you now because you've done something or you've gone through a life experience that shows God isn't there for you. You're wrong. He is. You just have to turn around and you'll find he's been following you all the time. So I just implore you to pray and ask God for his grace and his mercy. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Christ is at the centre of the gospel, and the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. So let us all stand before God now and pray. And if you've never prayed to invite Jesus into your life before, then join with me as we all reconfirm that Jesus is our Lord and Saviour. And I want you to close your eyes. I know it's difficult sometimes watching things on video. You feel like you're not quite connected, but the Holy Spirit really works. So let's just pray and let's just see what can happen for you. But may you be blessed.